Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
You heard it. You didn't mishear it. You didn't think it was something else. You heard the President of the United States say this just yesterday.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
You know, I know, America knows, he said pause. And he said pause because that's what was on the teleprompter. On the teleprompter, it said four more years, pause. And so that's exactly what he said. It was part of the old joke.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I should say, really, the old line. Then you have to think about the fact that the movie Anchorman is old, and then it gets weird. Tony Katz today. What are you doing, Boo Bear? 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. That's right, I called you Boo Bear. That's the kind of guy I am. He said, pause. He said it. Everybody knows it, and the White House knows it. He said what he said.
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.
He didn't know maybe what he was saying, but he said what he said. The White House then put out the transcript. The transcript reads that an economy that grows better from the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. And then it goes like this. The president says four. An audience member, it reads inaudible. The president, more years. So they threw the audience member in there. So they have the president saying four more years, and then they put in parentheses, inaudible. They then go to the crowd chanting four more years.
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause.
Was that inaudible to you? Or did he say what he said and the White House is lying to every American citizen about what got said because he's an old man who can't do the job? I don't know which one you want to be more bothered by, that he's an old man who can't do the job or that the White House will blatantly lie. You saw it. You heard it. You know exactly what you heard. You know exactly what he said. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, it was inaudible. Oh, nobody could know what he was possibly saying.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. No one knows what happened. Pause? He didn't say pause. I didn't. Did you hear him say pause? I didn't hear him say pause.
The cat's stewing you. The oyster's shucking you, I told him. You got the right ta-ta, but the wrong ho-ho.
The lying cannot be tolerated. And as far as I'm concerned, the White House Correspondents Association should be apoplectic. They should be asking Corinne Jean-Pierre about this morning, noon, and night. They should never stop. They should demand an apology. They should demand that someone gets fired. Inaudible? If you trust anything that comes out of this administration, with all due respect, you are out of your mind. How many more ways can they show their disdain for all of us? It is disdain. It is disgust. And that happens because of hate. How dare you notice? How dare you think low of a man who can't read off a teleprompter? How dare you have a mind and eyes and ears and recognize what you know to be true? So, like it's 1984 being utilized as an instruction manual, they erase history and then tell you what you're supposed to believe. And they have an entire media apparatus that'll swallow it up. Tasty good. It's an obscenity. And it comes from a hatred of you. Now, we should note that the hatred is not political party based. This is where everybody needs to at least come on in. Come on, kitten. Let's all do this together. When they erase history, they don't just hate me because I'm on the political right. They don't just hate you because you're on the political right. They hate you and you might be on the political left, but of course you listen to the show because I'm delightful. They hate you. They, the elitist who believes they should be able to dictate from on high what it is you do, never mind what it is you hear, and then actually have the audacity to try and convince you that you didn't hear what you clearly heard. I believe gaslighting is the proper phraseology we utilize in this situation. That comes from hate. Psychological manipulation comes from hate. Now, you could argue, well, are they hateful or are they just pathological? Honestly, in this case, that's a distinction without a difference. But there's no difference between us whether we're on the right or the left. This is hate. Pure, raw, unadulterated hate. My question is, why would any of us accept it? Why would any of us be okay with it? Why is it that this will pass and no one in a single news organization outside of Fox or Newsmax will say, this is wrong. This is wrong. The White House clearly knows what he said and they should be damn well ashamed of themselves for lying about it. He said it. He read directly off a teleprompter and did not know what he was reading. That's the story. It makes him look bad. No, it's not this. It's everything makes him look bad. But when they choose not to share, when they choose to lie, when they choose to erase the record, for something as simple as pause, can we ask the only logical question? What else will they erase? What else will they change the record on? You will not see the White House correspondents, the press corps, push back on Corinne Jean-Pierre. And I think they should push back to the point where she feels the need to leave the press briefing. It's too much pressure. And you won't see it. And everything you have ever believed about not trusting government comes to fruition. You were right not to trust the government about vaccines. You were right not to trust the government about 6 feet of separation. You were right not to trust the government about what they did with your kids in schools. You were right, you were right, you were right. And every day they prove it to you again while telling you how wrong you are. There are four lights, ladies and gentlemen. You know what you heard, you know what you saw, because you heard it and you saw it. Because he said it. By the way, they're still going to run this guy for president? This is the guy? You actually think America is voting for this? That's a lot of faith in the abortion argument is going to work. Like, it's the only thing they've got going for them. No one should forgive this. When someone tells you who they are, believe them. Just quoting Maya Angelou. Thought that was pretty much on the money for this. I'm Tony Katz. Yesterday we talked about space and $3 billion that NASA's going to utilize to get to Titan, which is one of the moons of Saturn. And I said, I'm down. The space race is on, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. And while it, clearly the role of government isn't to go to space, I love what we're doing privately. You've got people who want to weaponize space. Later that evening came the notification that Russia vetoed a UN resolution, which was sponsored by the US and Japan, which called on nations to prevent a nuclear arms race in outer space. The 15-member Security Council was 13 in favor, China abstaining, Russia voting no. China abstained and Russia voted no because they coordinated for China to abstain and Russia to vote no. Putin's like, I have no intention of deploying nuclear weapons in space. Yet. That's actually how he laughs. It's very odd. Who didn't see this coming? I mean, we talk about it that day. Quite literally that day. And by that evening, we're proven 1,000% correct. The plan is to weaponize space. And so we should be a part of that. But first, we're going to have to get rid of whatever cold we have. I want to say for the record that Donald Trump never said you should inject bleach. But certainly he was clumsy in the conversation about COVID, about, lights and UV lights and how it deals with viruses and things like that. Something he had heard probably in a briefing, and he brought it to the fore, and it wasn't his best moment, but it wasn't how the left played it. That was just them being, not caring if they lie. I think that might be exactly why the White House is like, okay, so Joe Biden said pause. He read off the teleprompter where it's, gave like a stage direction on pause, and he read that because he's, an old man, doesn't know what he's doing. We'll just erase that from the public record, which they did. They erased it from the public record. This is a story from UPI. Health news. Neosporin ointment in the nose may help fight off respiratory viruses. Now, wait a second. You put Neosporin, on a cut. You may even put it on a rash. But you would never put it in your nose. You would never engage some level of potential ingestion. According to the studies, lab animals whose nose were treated with the main ingredient in Neosporin, which is called neomycin, mounted a robust immune defense against both the COVID-19 virus and a highly virulent strain of influenza. Viruses, not bacterial issues, viral issues. The ointment triggered a swift immune response, as reported, from genes in the human nose. Well, is that right? So when cold and flu season is around, a little bit of Neosporin in the schnoz. Although I'd love to know how much they're putting in the nose. And you'll be fine. If Donald Trump had said, try a little Neosporin in the nose, you would have doctors quite literally beating each other to death to get over to the MSNBC studios so they could talk about how ridiculous this is, how terrible this is. They would be in the elevator fighting each other.
Two men injured, one man leads. Two men injured, one man leads. Two men injured, one man leads.
Non-stop. This to me is like part of the whole conversation of, oh wait, ivermectin actually helps? Wait a second, ivermectin is for horses!
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
There's a human version. Good. And people did have, success with it. I go back to some of the conversations during COVID, and I had doctors, one doctor specifically, but say, ivermectin, worth a shot. They didn't know what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. It was like when they would see patients who had trouble breathing and they intubated. And then what did they learn? That the intubation was causing more problems. They weren't trying to do any damage. They weren't trying to hurt people. So, you sometimes don't know what you don't know. But look at how quickly they mocked everything because somehow they thought they knew. They did not know. Neosporin in the nose. My advice is to check with your doctor. Something you don't have to check with your doctor on. If you're a drag queen and you're telling children that you believe in a free Palestine, chances are you don't know what you're saying.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout, free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
Free Palestine!
Couple of things here. There are adults who brought their children to Drag Queen Story Hour. They brought their children. They did so freely. Suburban white women are the worst. I'm looking at the imagery. I have made my determination. Suburban white women are terrible. Secondly, all the women who showed up to this event without men, if you were living under the rule of Hamas, you'd already be beaten. Number three, the drag queen would already be dead. Free Palestine? These are the most unserious people in the world. You want me to listen to them? You want me to listen to this? I was going to say schmuck. That was the word I was going to use in case you were curious. Please, I know where I'm at. I know what I do. I'm not risking the career for this tool. Come now. Don't be silly. All drag queens would be killed on day one. Go on. Live under Hamas rule for a week. Sharia for a week. Let's see what they do to your kids. You bring your children to this? Suburban white women are the worst. This is you hating your kid. You have no problem with the drag queen? Neither do I. You bring your children there? That's awkward. Story time involves chanting of Free Palestine? You're just despicable. You're despicable. You hate your kid. Why are we even pretending? You hate your child. And I don't know why you do, but you do. And you shouldn't. I'm sorry. Sometimes there's no like mystical new answer. Don't hate your kid. What's going on with the economy? What's going on with the GDP? Why is the Biden team telling us that things are good? Dr. Matt Will, economist, joins us next to discuss it. This is Tony Katz today.
So is government spending, was that driving the GDP? Is there a correlation there?
It's certainly in the mix. It's one of the components, but it gets a weight that's much lower than consumer spending. Consumer spending is 70% of nominal GDP. Add investment and you're north of 80%. Now, if you look at this first quarter result, consumer spending, real, and investment together grew at a 3% annualized rate. And that's almost, think of that as almost a core GDP measure, something that takes out the more volatile inventories or net exports or even the government accounts, which can bounce up and down.
So we shouldn't look at the GDP number for what it is, which is 1.6%, which is lower than the expectation of 2.4%, which is to say not real growth at all. But if we follow Jared Bernstein, who's part of the White House economic team, and we engage some math where we take out some numbers, then everything looks great. Did I mention that this administration has no issue with lying to us on the regular? This is nuts. But we got to break down what these numbers mean, along with some really strange tax thoughts from the administration. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Dr. Matt Will joins me right now, economist at the University of Indianapolis. First, you heard Jared Bernstein, White House economic team. It's 1.6%, but if you take out the volatile stuff, it looks much better. Is this the way the economists do things?
Well, first of all, I have to congratulate you on your national syndication. It's good that the rest of the country will finally hear what we in the Midwest have been able to enjoy.
Hopefully someone's economics is going to get better, but bit by bit. The rest of us, though, are totally screwed.
Well, yes. I mean, do they sit around in the White House and think about how do we make a crap sandwich taste good? And that's what they're doing. And they say, okay, you get to choose the bread, America, but the rest of us, you know, the White House will choose the junk that goes in between. No, this is not what economists do, to answer your question. This is inaccurate. Core GDP. Well, they're inventing numbers now. I mean, the answer is yes, but this is simply false. Consumer spending is up, but that's not a great thing. The reason consumer spending is up is because people are taking on more credit card debt. We look at the latest credit card information, and we see that defaults are skyrocketing, and in regional banks, they're at almost record highs. Defaults on credit cards are almost at record highs in regional banks. This is not good that people are spending money on credit cards and defaulting. I don't so know what world he lives in that this is supposed to be good news.
Well, it goes to a series of places where we are told that everything is just fine. It's like we hear from Janet Yellen that people's balance sheets are just fine and that people's home finances are doing okay. She says this very, very often without the recognition that we have $1.13 trillion worth of credit card debt, and we have more and more reports of people dipping into their 401ks to pay for the everyday things. But now that we know that the White House is just trying to blow smoke on spinning the number, talk to me about the 1.6% number. Is that concerning to you?
It's alarming. It's more than concerning because Janet Yellen lied again. When she said the balance sheets are healthy, if you look at the savings rate in this report right here, this core GDP, the savings rate for households is 3.6%. The historical average is 8.7. That's a 5% lower savings rate than historical averages. So I don't know what this core is. I don't know what this healthy balance sheet is. They must be looking at a different dictionary than the rest of the world. It's simply not true. The 1.6 is bad, and when you dig into the details, it's not better. Like he says, it's worse.
Talking to Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, you make a constant refrain. You engage a constant refrain, but you do have a theory. And your theory, as it applies to jobs numbers, as it applies to CPI and PPI, as it applies to what's going on in the stock market, now applies to GDP, is that if it weren't for AI, there would be no growth. This is true in your view of what we see with these numbers as well, correct?
Absolutely true. I mean, AI, AI is the key. If you look at the top seven companies, the Mag 7, as they call them, last year, those top seven companies grew at 107%. The S&P 493, I like to take, you know, take out those big seven. Last year, those 493 that are not AI-generating companies, they shrunk 8%. 493 companies in aggregate shrunk 8%. The top seven grew at 100%. All the growth is concentrated in one area. Thank God for capitalism. But I got to make one last point on this. The Biden administration has recently released executive orders to put a clamp down on AI. The only place that's growing in the economy, and they want to kill it.
Well, I don't want to kill it. I am certainly concerned by it for sure. Now, this goes into a second conversation. And I've been talking about it, trying to get an understanding of it, where on the capital gains tax rate, the White House, in a kind of like a throwaway report, they've got an idea that they would like to introduce that if they got their way, would bring capital gains tax rates to 44.6%. So first things first, what is a capital gain and what is your take on what it is they're trying to do, or at least proposing?
Well, a capital gains is an increase in the value of something you own. So you own a house and your house goes up in value, or you own a stock and it goes up in value, or you have a retirement account and it goes up in value. What the Biden administration wants to do is tax you on that gain, both if you sell your house, they've actually proposed, even if you don't. This is what's blowing my mind. They want to tax you on things you own that go up in value, even if you don't sell them. But if you do sell them, they want to tax you at 44.6%.
Now that, no. If you don't sell them, that's the unrealized capital gain that they want to tax at 25%. And this is where it gets stranger. So if I engage some sale of real property, whatever it is, there could be a capital gain. What this White House is saying, and I've heard progressives discuss this before, that let's say you have a stock and you bought it at 5 and now the stock is worth 8, but you're going to hold on to it. Their argument is, great, pay us the tax anyway on the differential. How does one have a differential on something that you don't sell? There is no realized gain. They want to tax this unrealized gain. Where does this idea come from, and what does it do to capital investment?
Well, first of all, it comes from people who hate business. They hate capitalism. They're socialists. They're communists. They don't want people to succeed. They don't want a higher standard of living. They want you to live under the control of the government. That's where it comes from. What's it going to do to investment? I think that's an obvious question. Are you going to invest money if you know that any profits you make are going to go to the government? Are you going to invest money if you believe that becoming wealthy, you will be punished and your wealth will be confiscated? But forget about that. What if you're just a retiree? What if you've been working at Eli Lilly, you've been saving up your money, the company pays you in company stock, and that stock has done tremendous over the last couple of years, and you say, I'm going to retire now. And you have a huge nest egg in Lilly stock, and you retire, and you pull it out to live, and the government takes 44.6% of it. Wow. That's a scary thought. It will destroy your incentive to work hard, save, and invest.
But one of the issue is that people can see that on a macro side, like large-scale business, large-scale investment. It's sometimes harder to see how it affects somebody on the ground, right? If somebody doesn't have $1 million, if somebody not doing that level investing, what is the issue with me? I work here, or I work in this factory, or I work for this business, or whatever, and that doesn't have an effect on me. Are they right in thinking that somehow they're immune to this being a serious potential issue?
Well, no. There's like two or three parts to this. One is they aren't immune because people think they're not rich, they're not millionaires, or in this case, the document says 500,000, 400,000, or 250,000. There's different definitions of rich in here. But if you've been saving your whole life, you probably do have more than $1 million in savings. People don't even realize that until they retire and think, oh, thank goodness I have this nest egg. When you go to pull it out, all of a sudden the government says you are rich. But it's not just that. What if you're an employee of a small business? and a small business is over $1 million. I mean, it has to, just if it has a few employees. Then when that gets hit hard, that business owner gets hit hard, that's probably going to cause you to get laid off. It may cause a business to shut down. It may cause you to get a pay cut or cut in benefits. This is not simply an isolated, let's soak the rich. That's what they want you to think. But that is a false narrative. And again, it's class warfare at its worst.
That man's name is Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. There is more coming up. Find everything I do over at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today. I've got people being arrested at Emory University. I've got the bigot Ilhan Omar supporting the pro-Hamas students at the University of Minnesota. And I've got Bernie Sanders saying it is not anti-Semitic or pro-Hamas to point out that in a little over 6 months, your extremist government has murdered 34,000 people. That's not what happened. Good Lord, Bernie, do you have to suck? But Tony, he's Jewish, and listen, I know my people. Some of them have been wrong for a long time. Some of them sent their kids to Columbia and didn't know it was full of Jew haters. Honestly, they voted for Biden. Can we please stop thinking that somehow they have a level of authority here? That's the craziest part. Here's a Jewish Voice for Peace. That's a group. And, well, they're opposed to what Israel's doing, so we should listen to them. Why would you listen to them? They're ridiculous children who think they can block traffic and everything's okay. They'll manipulate the religion for their ideology. They don't actually care. Could we please have a little focus, for the love of God? Tony Katz. That's me, by the way. Tony Katz Today, 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. That's how you get to be a part of the show. More and more of this is going to happen. And if you ask why, you know the answer. You know that everything that you're seeing is nothing more than a continuation of George Floyd riots. This is what people think is exciting and fun. They get to fight against something because they're always told that everything is terrible and they have to fight against it. That's it. They don't know why they're angry. They don't actually care about the subject. They are just interested in this dream fantasy, pseudo-intellectualism, fever dream of tearing it all down and somehow it'll be better. That's what makes them so dangerous. There are those people, they don't care what the subject is. It's George Floyd, it's police this, it's Israel. No, I get to destroy things. Sounds great. Where do I go? Where do I pick up my mask and a bat? That's all they want to do. All they want to do is attack cops. All they want to do is break things. That's all. Of course, this is the direction that it's going. One would have to so aggressively deny history to somehow think that this is really about what is going on with the Israeli government. You have to be Bernie Sanders dumb. And we should be clear that Bernie Sanders is not bright.
You know, it's funny, sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
Lining up for food is a good thing, said by Bernie Sanders, a millionaire who has never held a job. He has lived off the public dole his entire life. And he thinks a good thing is waiting in line for bread. That man never waited in line in his adult life for anything. They brought it to him on silver. the mayor of Burlington, the senator, the congressman, the senator. His wife destroyed a college, and people still say, oh, that Bernie, he knows what he's doing. Does it matter that he's Jewish? I'm Jewish, and I'll tell you right now that Bernie Sanders is a moron. Bernie Sanders doesn't know right from wrong. Bernie Sanders doesn't know how to make an economy work. He doesn't understand what moves people. He has absolutely lost the plot between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, the evil and the good. He's a bad guy. Lack of foreskin does not, by de facto, make someone good. He's a bad guy with bad ideas and a bad philosophy. It's been proven over and over and over again. And he's wrong on this too. I wish he wasn't, but he is. But what do you expect from a guy who thinks that bread lines are a good idea? Just happy to help you through with that. Trump, the case in front of the Supreme Court. What got said and what do we think happens next? And CNN. No, I have no audio to share with you, right? I'm not gonna bring those people on air. I try rarely now to do that, but oh, this is just perfect. I'll have that next. I'm Tony Katz.